for Parshas B'Shalach.
That is amazing.
Just by way of introduction, what are we going to discuss today? In two great episodes, that's Kriyas Yamsuf and Milchemes Amolek, Moshe Rabbeinu plays the central role. Maybe if I could trouble you just, Reuven, do you mind closing this door when you can, even though you're responsible for this door? But okay, thanks. In the case of Kriyas Yamsuf, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to actually do what he has to do, and we'll see soon what that is, in order to split the Yam. And in the case of Amalek, Moshe Rabbeinu is located, situated on the top of the mountain, and he's going to do what he has to do on top of the mountain in order to guarantee the success of this defensive war. If you remember, it was Amalek who, on their own initiative, attacked the Jewish people. And we're going to see later on that Yisro actually comes to join the Jewish faith because, according to Chazal, of these two major episodes, according to one day, it's because of Matan Torah. But one opinion is that Yisro came even before Matan Torah. But he heard about Milchemes Amalek, he heard about Kriyas Yamsuf, and he came. We want to, in a sense, compare and contrast Moshe Rabbeinu's Hanhaga, in other words, the way he brought about both the success in Kriyas Yamsuf and the success in Milchemes Amalek. So if you're taking a look now at the second paragraph, you'll see two psukim that are going to be the key, the two key psukim here for our discussion today. The first pasuk, with regard to Kriyas Yamsuf, it says, Vayet Moshe es yodo al hayam. Now, if you emphasize the word yodo, it would seem, and we're going to discuss this at great length, that there was no use of the matah. You know, usually Moshe Rabbeinu achieved his goal with the staff, with the matah. But here, in this particular pasuk, we'll see other psukim that indicate otherwise, he uses his yad. And the same thing applies in Milchemes Amalek. And that's here in also in our parasha. It says, V'hoya kasher yorim Moshe yado. Again, you want to emphasize the word yado. The Govar Yisrael, the Kasha Yaniach Yodo, the Govar Amalek. Now, one of the questions we're going to deal with is, what's Yodo? Yodo sounds like a Lashon Yachid, it's a singular word. He has two Yadayim, he doesn't seem to be using both Yadayim. Is that so? He only used one Yad? And the second question, of course, that we have to deal with is, what about the Mata? Now, we looked at the Pasuk Vayat Moshe's Yodo Al Hayom, which is Pasuk Chaf Aleph. That's what Moshe actually did. But if we rewind a little bit, back to Pasuk Yudalid, we get the Tzivui, the command from Hashem regarding Kriyas Yamsuf. And there, which you'll see in the third paragraph, it says, Vata Harem Es Matcha. It says that you should lift up your staff. Unetei es yodcha al hayom. Now look at that. On the one hand, you know, the tzivui is to use the mata, but on the other hand, again, it says unetei es yodcha al hayom. Moshe, and the way Moshe seems to have followed through is vayet Moshe's yodo al hayom, seemingly omitting the mata. So this is all very confusing to us, because if the tzivui of Moshe from Hashem's mouth was to take the mata, what does it mean when Hashem says that he should niteyas yadcha, that he should do it with his hand? And not only that, in the description of Moshe's fulfillment of the word of God, it says vayet Moshe's yado al yam, completely omitting the mata. Very confusing. Now let's mention the Medrash here. The Medrash says on the pasuk Ve'ata Harem Es Matcha, it says Unetayis Yodcha Layam Ubekaeu. Says the Medrash, he was meant to take the staff, lift it up, and then put it on the side, and then take his hand and cause the splitting of the Yamsuf with his hand, and not with the Mata. And why is that so? So you'll see the Medrash starts here at the bottom of the right column, and Rabbi Bechai adds a little bit on the top of the left of this middle column for those who like to follow the text. And says the Medrash, there are amongst Klal Yisrael what we call Mechusrei Amuna, and those whose level of faith in God was somewhat limited. And these people would claim, if Moshe Rabbeinu only used the matter, that it's not that Moshe was able to achieve this miracle of splitting the Yamsu, but rather the matter. There was a certain power in the matter. And again, keep in mind, they lived at the time of sorcery, and there were different powers. The power here is inherent in the matter. That's what the Mechusrei Amuna would say. If you take a look in Rabbeinu Bechai, he says the following: Ein lahavin akosav azeh sheyorin Moshe's mateu layom, shrei lo nemar el vayat Moshe es yodo. So in the pasuk itself, it says harem es matcho, but it doesn't say al hayom. We're missing those two words. But when we get to the tzivui of netei es yodcho, there the Torah adds the words al hayom, and he says, it says Vayet Moshe es Yado, which also indicates that when Moshe fulfilled this obligation, this mandate, he lifted his hand. There doesn't seem to be any mention of the matter. He says, Aval Tam, what's the meaning of Harem es matcha, lisalko miyado, lift it up and then place it on the side. Again, I hope he doesn't drop it, because it's a very valuable matter. I mean, you can imagine what you'd pay for it today. And they would say, Ein koch biad Moshe, please underline those words, Ein koch biad Moshe, they would claim, he can't effectuate this great miracle of Kriyas Yamsuv. And therefore Hashem says, Harem es matcha, lift up your matter, and that's going to accomplish something, I'm not exactly sure what, but then salkeu miyadcha, put it on the side. And Rabbeinu Bechai brings the support for this thesis from the Medrash, that the Mechusrei Amona would say that Ein koch biad Moshe, it's only the koch is in the matter, and therefore Hashem, right, well, the Medrash elaborates on this. What did we see in the past? What kind of record does this matter have? It has a great record. He kos ayar. He Moshe Rabbeinu brought about the makkah of dam, and hevi kol makkahs. Basically, all subsequent makkahs, starting with dam, were all brought about through the matter. This matter. Could you imagine if this matter was in a museum, and you have a description? You know, in the fancy museums, especially in European countries, in America, you have these very the detailed descriptions of what you're looking at. Can you imagine the description of this matter of Moshe? Like, it's really a powerful matter. Look at all the accomplishments. It's like almost if you had the baseball bat of Babe Ruth. Can you imagine what it would say? You know, how many home runs did he hit? 50 or something? 60. And now they're up to 72 or something. I don't know where they're holding.
Except that when he hit 60, he out-homered the entire league.
Right. So I think in those days it was harder, it was more challenging, you know. But in the time Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, there were sorcerers and this and that, but Moshe Rabbeinu accomplished a great deal with his matter. Now we come to the Yamsuf, and the whole Klal Yisrael is waiting for this dramatic moment, this miracle that's going to save the people. So Hashem says, Harem es matcha, and put it on the side. And Shelo Yomru Ilule Amate Lo Hoyachol across the Yam, that Moshe has no koach to really effectuate this miracle. So it comes out the following, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Moshe to split the water with his hand, with his yabiyado, not with the matah. Why does he tell him to take the matah? Just to disprove the thesis of those who are Mechusrei Amona, would say it was the matah and not Moshe Rabbeinu. By taking the matah and putting it on the side, Moshe Rabbeinu is demonstrating that it's not the matah that's going to create the Kriyas Yamsuv, but rather I'm going to create the Kriyas Yamsuv with my body, with my arm. Now, what we want to understand is, what's the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu creating this miracle through the matter, just as he had done with the first 10 with the 10 plagues, and doing it with his hand. Ech yale al hadas ki lasos osos umofsim b'mata. Why is it in the mind of the of these mechusrei amana? You know, these people are sitting on the sidelines. They're a little bit cynical, and they're saying, "Well, it's the mata." Well, wait a minute. I'm going to ask you to take a mata and split the Red Sea. Are you going to be able to do that? I mean, this is a pele gadol. He says, why is this less of a pele than splitting the Yam Suf with your arm, with your hand? In both cases, it defies the laws of nature. It's absolutely spectacular. So Moshe Rabbeinu has to get a tzivui to pick up the mata and put it on the side to demonstrate that this is not something that I'm achieving with the mata. Let's say in the worst case scenario, these cynics over here sitting on the side would say, oh, Moshe Rabbeinu has no koach, it's all in the mata. Yeah, I'd like you to take the mata and see what you could split with the mata. I don't think you could split a thing with the mata. This is a pele gadol. Even if it means using the mata. So why would this detract from the emunah? You know, if we had time, what we would do is we would immediately fast forward to the parsha in Chukas, towards the end of the Torah, in Sefer Dvar, in Bamidbar. There we have a difference between talking to the stone and hitting the stone. You remember? So, and there were different levels of Kiddush Hashem. Had Moshe Rabbeinu spoken to the stone, it would have been a higher level of Kiddush Hashem. You know, it would be a very fascinating research project to find a parallel between this parasha of Kriyas Yam Suf and the parasha of getting the water out of the Sela, where Moshe Rabbeinu has to go out and say, you know what? I can do with my hand. I can split the yam. And that's going to be the greatest level of Kiddush Hashem of Emunah possible. Okay, now let's fast forward just a few chapters, all within Bishalach, to the military campaign against Amalek. And the Torah says, Vayova Amalek, Vayilochem im Yisrael berefidim, Vayova Moshe el Yoshua b'chal lecha, So Moshe turns to Yoshua and he says, choose the military soldiers that are appropriate to go out and battle against Amalek. Tomorrow I'm going to be situated on the top of this little mountain, and I'm going to have the mata in my hand. Yoshua fulfills this mission, just as Moshe Rabbeinu had told him to do so. He goes out to battle, and Moshe is up on the mountain. Aaron and Hur go up with Moshe to this mountain, because they are going to support his arms. And the Torah says, Vayehi kasher yorim Moshe yodo. Whoa, did you see that, my friends? Anybody notice something here? What did Moshe Rabbeinu say to Yoshua just 5 minutes ago, right? He said to him that Machar Anochi Nitzav Rosh HaGiva U'mat Elokim B'yadi. So what power is Moshe Rabbeinu going to use to bring down a divine salvation for the Jewish people who are down there on the ground fighting this battle against a powerful nation called Amalek? It's Mat Elokim B'yadi. And yet, when we get to the implementation, the Torah records that Moshe Rabbeinu was lifting his arm and then Gavar Yisrael. We just finished concluding that Mata Elokim B'yadi, it's the Mata that's going to effectuate this triumph on the military battle. Now we see that on the contrary, it was when, not the Mata, but rather when Moshe would lift his arm. And then the Pasuk goes on to say, Kasha Yoniach Yodo, if Moshe Rabbeinu would lower his arm, then Gavar Amalek, Amalek would become more successful, more powerful. And then finally it says, Yidei Moshe Kvedim, and Aaron and Hur came, one on this side, one on that side, in order to support the arms of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now there's almost a mirror image here between Kriyas Yam Suf and Milchemes Amalek. Because in both cases, the original tzivui was that take the mata. Right? Atah, in the case of Kriyas Yam Suf, Atah Harem Esmatecha, and here also it says, U'mata Elokim B'yadi. And in the case of Kriyas Yam Suf, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu Kasher Harim Yarim Moshe's Yadov. It says when he lifted his hand al Yam, Vayet Moshe's Yado al Yam. And here too in Melchemes Amalek it says Vayi Kasher Yarim Moshe's Yado. Are we going to say the same thing about Amalek that we said about Kriyas Yamsuf, that Hashem only wants him to take the matah and then put it on the side so that nobody should say that this miracle is being effectuated by the matah and Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have the power to do so? I don't know. I'd rather find a different way of explaining why this went on in the case of Amalek. But in any event, we have this paradox. We start with Matel Kiviyadi, and then it says Vayika Shayarim Moshe's Yadovagar of Yisrael. And now we want to see the Ramban. So just in case you're following me in the text, we are in the bold print on the left column of page 1. And this is the Ramban's biur about Yadov Bitfila. Okay, we have to understand that Yadav, according to Ramban, is a secret password, and it's really a reference to Tefillah. Umata l'kim biyad lomar ki kasher ola al rosh hagiv haviras hamolik nata yado b'mata lahavi aleim makas dever cherev yavdan ki inyan shenemar Bioshua nete bechidon asher biyotcha el ha'ai ki biyotcha tneno ki be'eis heyoso mispalel, says the Ramban, while he was praying the cap of prusos hashamayim lo yitfos biyodo dovar. In other words, according to Ramban, there's a two-stage process over here. When Moshe Rabbeinu goes up on the Giv'ah and he's holding the matah, he uses the matah to bring makos. And what does that sound like in terms of Yitzis Mitzrayim?
Same thing.
Same thing, where he used the matah to bring the makos. But then we get to stage 2. And the Eis HaYosef is Palel, what's going to happen during the battle itself, right, during the duration of the battle, Moshe Rabbeinu is not holding anything, not the matah, and not even using his yad against Amalek. What he's doing is he's spreading his hands out l'shamayim in a posture of tefillah. So again, it comes out the following, that what exactly is the role of the Yodayim? And not only that, as we pointed out, the pasuk says yado b'loshen yachid. And it says Vayi Kasher Yorim Moshe Yado, which refers to one of his arms, V'Gavar Yisrael. So it seems like it was one arm and not Yadav in plural. And then it says V'Yidei Moshe Kvedim in plural, his hands, his arms became very heavy. And that's where Aaron and Hur come to support him from this side and from that side. Vayihi Yadav Emunal al Bo Hashamesh. Now the word Yadav is in plural. So let's just summarize some of our questions here. We're not sure, number one, why the Mechusri Amon are going to win the day by saying, oh no, it's all in the Koach of the Matah. It's still a Pella, it's still an amazing miracle if he can bring about Kriyas Yamsu through a Matah. Number two, why is it that in the case of Melchemes Amalek, Moshe Rabbeinu begins with Nota Es HaMatah, that he takes the Matah and so forth. And then, when it comes to the actual battle, Moshe Rabbeinu is lifting up his arms. The Ramban insists that lifting up his arms is in a posture appropriate for tefillah. On the other hand, the Ramban wants to know, so why did he take the matah? And he answers that with the matah he was able to bring about makos on the Amalekim, maybe weakening them so that the Jews would have a better chance to win the battle. But we don't understand exactly whether Moshe Rabbeinu was using one arm or two arms. And there seems to be a contradiction in the psukim at face value. On the one hand, twice the Torah says, V'hoya kasher yorim Moshe yado es yado. Yado is in the singular. And on the other hand, it says that when his arms were supported by Aaron and Hur, it says the word biyadov, meaning that there were two yadayim. So what is it? Is it one yad or two yadayim? The Chizkuni says the following. Ksiv Yado Uksiv Yadav. On the one hand, singular, on the other hand, both Yadayim. Ella, what does it mean? Bitchila, at the beginning of the process, Magvia Yado Achas. And then Uman Manmich Yado Achas. Achishilu Shte Yadav Leos Kvedim. In other words, at the beginning, Moshe Rabbeinu used one arm, but that arm became very heavy and it was a big, tiresome burden. So he picks up his second arm. And now his first arm goes down, right? Because otherwise, how does he solve the problem of his very heavy, weak arm by lifting up another arm? That's not going to help anything. The answer is, if he lifts up the other arm, then the first arm, which is very tired, could go down. Then, at some point, Moshe Rabbeinu became overly, you know, completely weak, and he was on the verge of fainting, and he couldn't put up any yad. So then Aaron and Hur, they come along, Tamchu Yabiyadov, they give support to both his hands, Bizeh Echad and Bizeh Echad. Oh, now at this point, so again, first initially Moshe Rabbeinu uses one arm. That arm becomes tired, he has to put it down, and he uses his other arm. That arm becomes tired, and both his arms are out of commission. So now we need Aaron and Hur to pick up both his arms, and they do so. It's not enough for them to pick up one arm, because the Torah says, Yodayim, Yodov, within plural, they have to pick up both Yodayim. Now at this point, we want to mention the following question. And this is the end of page 1 going on to page 2. Ma inyan sheheri Moshe tchila kak yodo achas vehichliv bein yad liyad. And at the end of the day, finally, he wants to lift up two yadov, two yadayim. Why did he start with one yad and go on to the next yad? That's question number 1. Question number 2, which you'll see on page 2, is what's the deeper message here of Aaron v'chur? You know, on the one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu could have been doing what you call a one-man show, right, with his yad or his yadayim. But now we're saying no. He has to lift up both yadayim, but he needs Aaron on one side and Hur on the other side. Obviously, Aaron and Hur are meritorious. They have some sort of merit, and they deserve to be to play an integral role in this miracle. But what does it mean on a deeper level? What we call Pnimius HaTorah, the deeper meaning of the Torah, the hidden meaning of the Torah. Now, let's go back to Moshe Rabbeinu at the Sneh. You remember that Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to come and present myself to the people of Israel. They're going to ask me, who are you? How do I prove my own identity? I'm going to stand up in front of Paro. How am I going to prove anything to Paro? He's going to laugh at me. I came here to let the slaves go free. Vayan Moshe vayomer vehein lo yaminu li v'lo yishmu b'koli vayomer ilav Hashem maze biyodcha vayomer mateh vayomer ashlichu arza vayishlichu arza vayihi l'nachosh. The mate turned into a serpent. Vayonis Moshe mipon and Moshe runs away. Vayom Hashem Moshe shlach yodcha vechoz biznovo. Hold on to the zanav. Vayishlach yodcha vayachzik bo. Vayhi amat lemate bekapo. Leman yaminu ki nira elof Hashem elokei avosam elokei Avraham elokei Yitzchak elokei Yaakov. So the first Simon, the first marvelous supernatural event that Moshe is going to implement to prove his identity, that he's been sent by God as a shliach, is the mateh. He's going to take the mateh and he's going to throw it down. It's going to turn into a serpent. Now Hashem gives him a second os. So the first os was with what? The mateh. Yeah? Everybody with me on that?
Yeah.
Because Hashem takes the matah and he throws it down, it's going to turn into a nachash. Now we're up to second os. Vayom Hashem lo od havena yodcha b'chekecha. In this case, it's the yad that's going into the chek, into the bosom. Okay, so what's the great miracle? Vayovo yado b'cheko. Moshe Rabbeinu is willing to try it out. Vayotzi'a v'inei yado mitzoras kishelik. So Rabosai, if we have the mat and the yad, what would you say? Which one is, you know, okay, we discussed Kriyas Yamsuf, we discussed Melchemes Amolek, but let's talk about the osos that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to have to do to prove his credentials. Is it going to be with the mateh, or is it going to be with the yad, or is it going to be both? Do you remember the, you know, the what do they call them? Multiple choice questions. So is it A, B, or C? Is A, is the mateh is going to prove that he's Moshe Rabbeinu sent by God? Is it B, his yad, or is it C, both?
Seems like both.
Yeah, it seems like C. All the above, you remember? Because on the one hand, the first os is that Moshe takes the mat, he throws it down, and becomes a nachash. The second os was that he puts his hand into his body, and he takes it out, and it's mitzoras kishelet. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose two osos? One with the mat, and one with the yad? So the answer is, Moshe is trying to prove to the people of Israel that he was indeed sent and commissioned by Hashem to bring the people out of Mitzrayim. Is therefore, let's assume there are two categories of osos. Now, when you want to prove something in front of the people, and you're a good psychologist, what factor do you have to take into account? Are all people uniform? Do they all think the same way? Do they all react the same way? A good psychologist realizes that one. There are different types of people who have different types of attitudes and reactions. So Moshe Rabbeinu is now being called upon to perform two different miracles. Each and every one of these miracles is for the purpose of identifying himself and verifying that he is indeed the Shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And according to the Psukim, it would seem that when he wants to prove, there are two different groups of people he has to prove. And therefore Hashem says to Moshe, Vayayim lo yaminu lecha, meaning if there are those who don't want to take the first os, which means the mateh, is lo yishmu lekol os harishon ve'aminu lekol os ha'achron. Hashem says, give him a different os. The second os, the second spectacular and supernatural event that Moshe is going to pull off is going to be with his yad. So if we're talking about two groups of people, some will believe the first os, some will believe the second os, some will be impressed by the mata and others by the yad. What is the psychological difference between these two groups? Why is one group, you know, why is it appropriate and matim, it's a good match with group A to use the mata and with group B to use the yad? Do you hear the question? Because again, it's clear that Moshe Rabbeinu has to implement two categorically different osos in order to get the people on board. One category is a mat, the other category is a yad. Now we want to match up these two osos with two groups of people. We're going to do a controlled experiment, a psychological experiment. Do you remember that from your college days? And we're going to find that as a result of the experiment, we're going to discover that there's one group of people are very impressed with the mata. There's another group of people are not impressed with the mata, they're impressed with the yad. So he needs both osos in order to get the entire Klal Yisrael on board. What's it all about? I mean, what is the nature of these two groups? And what is the difference between this kind of os, namely a mata, and that kind of os, a yad? And perhaps if we get an answer to that question, we can go back to Kriyas Yamsuf, understand why Hashem wants him to take the matah, then put it on the side, and then split the yam with his hand, with the koach yado. And in the case of Amalek, once again, Moshe Rabbeinu initially says, I'm going to take the matah, but at the end of the day, he does it with his yad. Now, the Shvilei Pinchas quotes the Rav of Liska. I don't know who he was, but I do seem to remember from my youth, shortly after I got married, and we spent a lot of time with my in-laws on the Lower East Side of Manhattan, I seem to remember that there was something called the Beis Medrash of Liska. Does anybody know if they can confirm that? I don't know. In any event. So he says the following. Vayomer melech Mitzrayim la-mialdos ha-ivrios asher shema achas shifra v'shema shenis pur. Now, these mialdos, the Torah gives us names. But the philosophy of our Torah is that names mean a great deal. Not like Shakespeare who said, what's in a name? We believe there's a lot in the name. And these two women represent two different, categorically different approaches to serve Hashem. One is indicated by Shifra and the other by Pur. And we can call them the Mialdos HaIvrios, meaning they are the teachers of Israel, the guides of Israel. Like it says, Kol HaMelamed Es Ben Chaver Torah Ma'alolav HaKosuv Kilu Yoldo. And why are these called the Mialdos? As if they gave birth to the children? The answer is because they are teaching us Torah. Now, I want to point out to you, and I've said this to you a million times, that you've heard over and over again the critique of the cynics that the Torah is not in favor of women. Have you heard that? You know, it's the feminist. It's not from yesterday. This is already an old story. And I keep marveling at the fact that the Torah puts so much emphasis on the women and the role that they play. And I gave a class this week from the Sefer Peliyoetz, just on the Peliyoetz's presentation of the love of a husband for his wife and what a woman does to a family and to a home. And if you talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim, Chazal say B'zchus Noshim Tzidkaniyos, you know, Yotzav HaSein of Mitzrayim, there's so much in Chazal about the Jewish woman. We have the famous kapitel in Mishlei of Eishes Chayil, which we sing every Friday night. I mean, there's so much, it's endless. And here's another case in which you see, this is a Hasidic Rebbe. I mean, he's not the Rebbe of Bells, but he's the number two in Bells. Bells today and here in Yerushalayim is a tremendous Hasidus, you know. It's just thousands of Hasidim. They built what we call the temple. I don't know if you've seen it. I mean, anywhere it is, anywhere in Yerushalayim, you can see it. Have you been there?
Yeah. You see it on the hill, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just mind-boggling. Yeah. Now there's a campaign going on for Bells. They claim that their goal is to raise $5 million on one, it's called a cause match, you know. $5 million. And this Rav Pinchas Friedman is one of the main moving forces behind this campaign. I think the campaign should have ended yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. It started Tuesday night and it should have ended, I'm not sure. I sent my wife a link, so I don't know, hopefully she contributed, I'm not sure, because I want to express my Hakaras HaTov to Rav Pinchas Friedman for his brilliant Shvilei Pinchas. So Shifra and Pua are teaching Bnei Yisrael how to serve the Ribbono Shel. So this Rav of Liska is going to tell us the difference between Shifra and Pua. And he says the following. How do you raise children? Well, one answer is going to be Shifra's answer. And the other answer is going to be Pua's answer. And they each represent prototypes of how to raise children. Shifra is the prototype of what we call Darchei Noam. It means raising the child in a soft voice. And when to make nice to someone, there's a word for it, no? How do you call it? Do you know what I'm talking about? To coddle. That's all indicated by the word Shifra. Pua, on the other hand, he says, is what we call tochachos musa. That's more of the hard approach, not the soft approach. And how do you raise children? The answer is that these two great women are teaching us two different approaches to how to raise children, and both are correct. On the one hand, we have to follow in the footsteps of Shifra, and that represents Darkei Noam, the soft approach. On the other hand, Pua, representing the hardcore tochacha, rebuke and chastisement. And these two women together integrate into one whole to teach us that we have to use both methods when we raise our children. And this is based on a principle which is called Yamin Mekareves and Smol Docha. With the Yamin, the right hand represents Rachmanut, which represents compassion and love. Mekareves, we bring it close. But at the other hand, we use the Smol Docha. So the Midah of Rachmanus and Chesed is represented by the Yamin, by the right side, and the Midah of Din and Tochacha is represented by the left side. And a tzaddik must use both the right and the left. The right mekareves and the left is docha. On the one hand, to have a relationship with the people, with the flock of love, compassion, softness, of pur, and at the same time, to be there with a straight, unyielding, set the bar very high, very demanding, and rebuke it sometimes. That's the midah of din, that's already on the left side. Let's go through a few statements of Chazal that indicate that both approaches are correct and both have to be integrated. We have the Gemara in Ksubis, Amar Abaye. Abaye says that if a Talmud Chacham is beloved by his people, that's not necessarily a good sign. You and I would have said intuitively, wow, that's great. You know, he wins the popularity poll. But it's not so. Why? Because what it means is he's too compassionate. He's not willing to take a stand on an issue. He's not willing to be mochiach to people because he's afraid if he does so, they're going to dislike him. Talmud Chacham Shmnei Eir Ohev him also. Ein zeh mishum shu tov. Don't misunderstand that that makes him inherently good. He's not willing to take a stand. We find something similar in the Gemara about Rabbi Gamliel. Nichnas Rabbi Gamliel etzlo umasalo seder nesius. We're talking about Rabbi Gamliel passing on the baton to Rabbeinu HaKadosh, because Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi, and now Rabbeinu HaKadosh, after the death of Rabbi Gamliel, is going to take over the Nesius. Says Rabbi Gamliel on his deathbed, his last words, when he comes in, he says, Seder Nesius. What's Seder Nesius? I'm sorry, I mistakenly said that Rabbi Gamliel passed it on to Rebbe. I meant to say the other way around. Rebbe is passing on the Nesius to Rabbi Gamliel. I stand corrected. And Rabbi Gamliel comes into him. Rebbe says to him, Bini, my son, Nahog Nesioscha Beramim. What does it mean, Beramim? We're from a high place. It means Rok Mara B'Talmidim. You should instill fear into the hearts of your students, of your disciples, of those who follow in your footsteps. You must use the small docha that we spoke about, the tochacha, and not just try to win a popularity contest. And that's called zrok mora b'talmidim. And in the case of David HaMelech, it says about David HaMelech in the Gemara at the beginning of Brachos, Kevan Sha'ola Amud HaShachar Nichnasu Chachma Yisrael Etzlo Omer Lo Adonenu HaMelech Amcho Yisrael Tzrichim Parnosa. And David HaMelech is very demanding, and on the same time, the Chachma Yisrael come into David and say, please, out of compassion, the people of Israel are suffering. They don't have the finances, the assets that they need. Please, pray to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Prayer is an expression not of pua, but rather of shifra. And Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara says, Sanhedrin li olam te'e smol docha v'yamin mekareves, lo ke'elisha shedochafo legechazi v'shtei yodayim. Elisha overstepped his bounds, and by being a smol docha, that kind of intolerant personality, he pushed Gehazi with two hands. And that was too much. That was too extreme. The Yad Yamin, the right side, is used for the Shifra approach. The Yad Small on the left side is going to be used for the Pua approach. the Yad Yamin is Makareves, Yaman Svol is Docha, and we need both. Tzarech lahagbir, these are the last two lines on page 2, es hakiru b'yamin yoseh me'arichuk b'smol. The Shvilei Pinchas says, I have a proof from the Yad Ramah, one of the great Sephardic Rishonim in Sanhedrin, to prove to you that although he needs both the Yad Yamin and the Yad Smol, it's more important that he put the emphasis and greater power, greater energy into the Yad Yamin, which is the Yad HaMekareves. So even though there's going to be a small docha, it's going to be a ratio of, let's say, 90 to 10, or 60 to 30, 60 to 40. It's going to be mostly Yamin. Yamin Mekareves. Shetei Midas Kiruv Gedola Mimidas Techiv. And now we get to Moshe Rabbeinu. On the one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu as a personality personifies Kiruv. He personifies the right side, the Ava Gedola. He is the paradigm of Tefillah. And time after time, especially in the case of Chet Egel, he stands up and prays to Ribbono Shalom out of a sense of love and of a sense of compassion. And he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'yato im tisa chatosam, fine, v'yam ayin mecheni no misifrach ha'shek ha'savta. He's willing to be most of nefesh, give up his future in the spiritual world, just because he's praying on behalf of the people of Israel. On the other hand, Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is all of Sefer Dvarim, but even in Bamidbar we see the beginnings of it, is the greatest mochiach of all times. And for example, Moshe Rabbeinu declares, Mamri ma'yisem im Hashem miyom daiti oschem, or eschem. Moshe Rabbeinu calls the people Mamrim. I mean, what could be more harsh than an accusation that the people are rebellious, of Mumar? That's like the lowest status you can have. And all this is a shiluv, is a synthesis of both love and compassion with harsh rebuke. I think in modern contemporary life they have a phrase called tough love. Have you heard that?
Yeah.
Tough love. Tough love. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. He is the absolute personification of tough love. He integrates these two elements. He's going to go out there battling for Klal Yisrael out of a sense of total love. He is madly in love with Klal Yisrael, but at the same time, he's going to be Mochiach Klal Yisrael B'dvarim Kashim. He's going to call them Mamrim. And this is the most powerful tochacha that you can think of. And that's what Moshe did. So when I think of Moshe Rabbeinu, if I ever met Moshe Rabbeinu, I'd like to know, is he one of these soft, nice guys, or is he one of these real, tough, demanding guys? And the answer is he's both. Only someone as great of a personality as Moshe Rabbeinu could be the ultimate integration and synthesis of these two polar extremes. For example, Moshe Rabbeinu, with regard to preparing for Kabbalah Satorah, he says, Ko tomar lebeis Yaakov, v'tagid lebnei Yisrael. Says Rashi, what's the difference between tomar and tagid? And the answer lies in the difference between Amira and Haggadah. And what's happening here, says Rashi, is Lebeis Yaakov, Elu HaNoshim. So when it says Ko Tomru Lebeis Yaakov, we're talking about the Noshim. And Tomar is a Loshen Raka. When it gets to the end of the Pasuk and it says Lebnei Yisrael, that's already Kosher Kegidim, that's already the small Docha, that's the meat of Din. So Moshe Rabbeinu is very keen on using a different type of method of education, of changing the tone of his presentation between the men and the women. With regard to the men, it's Dvarim Kashim Kegidin. With regard to the women, it's Amira. Amira is a Lashon of Raka, of soft, melodious words. Somebody is a little bit out of line. What do you do? Do you come down hard of him, bat him over the head, and you say to him, look, you're terrible, and you're out, and you know, I want to throw you out, and so on. Or do you come with him in a very sweet kind of voice, put your arm around him, and say to him, look, you can do better than this. Let's work on it. Let's do it together. And therefore, what we need is a bechina of Shifra and a bechina of Pua. we can't have all of one. You can't have all of Shifra, because then, as we saw before, you might be beloved, but it's not a good sign. On the other hand, you can't have all of Pua. Pure Pua is not enough, because if you get too tough and too demanding, then ultimately you have the fear of rejection, of rebellion. So what we need is an integration of both. And it might depend upon who the audience is and who the people are and what they're willing to understand. So now let's go back to the snare. We said at the snare, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to give you two osos. The first os is going to be the matah. The second is going to be the yad. You're going to go back to Klal Yisrael and you're going to present these two osos. And we asked, what's it all about on a deeper level of pnimius? The answer is, you, Moshe Rabbeinu, are being given, in the context of your agency to go and redeem Israel, you are being given two different hanhagos, two different ways of relating to the people. One is Shifra, the other is Pua. The Mata Shebiotcha, that's representative of Pua. That's a very powerful force, a very destructive force. And it can be used against evildoers. But until that happens, we need another os. And that's the os of the Yad. He says the following. Hamata Sher B'Yad, this is on the bottom right, is an hanhaga of Pur, Lahatil Morus Al Tzon Mar Isa, on the sheep, on the flock of Moshe Rabbeinu. She Yishru Bekolo. He warns them with the matah. And there are those who can accept that. They're willing to take, you know, that harsh rebuke. But then Hashem says to Moshe, there's another kind of hanhaga. And that's the hanhaga of Shifra. That's the hanhaga of love, of compassion, of praying on behalf of Klal Yisrael, even being willing to sacrifice yourself for Klal Yisrael. We find that Rav Huna in the Gemara in Sanhedrin asked if he could be brought clay malachta. Rashi says, what were these clay malachta? A ritzua lamakos and a makel lamakas mardus. In other words, Rav Huna was very upset with people who were misbehaving and rebelling, and he said, bring me my tools. I'm going to beat them up. I'm going to use a ritzua strap to lash them, and I'm going to use the makel to bang them with makas mardus. We see that the makel always represents harsh judgment. It represents smol doche, or the midah of pua. We find in the case of Yoshua, and this is in the middle category, he says, Vayikra Moshe li Yoshua, v'yomei lov leinei kol Yisrael chazak v'amatz, ki ato tovias ha'om, tovos ha'om, hazeh el ha'oretz asher nishba Hashem alav oseithem l'seis lehen. Rashi says, Moshe turned to Yoshua, zkenim shebedor yu imcha, you'll be accompanied by the zkenim, the great elders of the generation, hakol ufi daitam v'atzosam, follow in their great wisdom and their counsel. That's what Moshe says to Yoshua. But what does Hashem say to Yoshua? Ki ato tavias bnei Yisrael el ha'aretz asher nishbati lohem, tavi al karcham, against their will. Hakol toli b'cha tol makel ve'hach al kod kodon. Wow, take the hit. The stick, and hit him over the head. Again, that's not to be taken literally, but symbolically it means the midah of harsh judgment, of din. And we find, therefore, that Yoshua taking over the mantle of leadership is being mandated by two different approaches, and they seem to be mutually exclusive, but they have to be integrated into one. On the one hand, it's going to be a closeness, a kiruv. But on the other hand, it's going to be midas hadin. It's going to be a poor kind of relationship. So Moshe Rabbeinu takes the matah asher biyado. Why does he take the matter? The answer is Lahatil Morus Al Yisrael. Poor. The matter, like the makil that we spoke about before, is always going to be a warning and a midas hadin. What's going to happen to you if you don't behave properly, if you don't fulfill God's will? If you rebel, I've got this matter. This matter is something that I use for harsh purposes. And that's midas hadin, that's poor. But on the other hand, Moshe Rabbeinu has an hug of yad, of his arm, of his hand. And it's Yado Hayaminis. The leader is given the Yad Hayaminis. And the Yad is Pshuta, to do Chesed. It's the Bechina of Shifra. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to use the Mater, and at the same time, he's going to use the Yad. Now let's go through the Psukim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, back at the time of the snare, Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded by Hashem to take the matah, and that matah is going to bring about the Eser Makos. That's called Tasabo Esa Osos. But why does the pasuk say Tikach biyodcha? After all, where is he going to take it? With what is he going to take it? If not with his hand, is there another way of taking it? He could have said, "Es hamata zeh tikach." What's tikach biyodcha? But the answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving Moshe Rabbeinu a remes. Yes, es hamata zeh, take the mata, and that's the mata which is going to be used lahatil bo ema and morus al klal Yisrael. But tikach biyodcha, you have to find a balance. You have to mitigate the power of the matah and the approach of a pua, and what you're going to do is you're going to take your matah with you. Now, this matah is going to be tikach biyadcha. Which yad? Let's assume that tikach biyadcha means yad yamin, right? So on the one hand, what we have is the matah. What's the purpose of the matah? Lahatilbo, morus, and emor. That's going to be the poor relationship. On the other hand, the Torah goes out of its way and says, tikach biyodcha, which means the yad yamin. That's what's called hamtaka. Okay, that's a key word over here. Hamtaka means when you have something bitter and you make it sweet. When you have the srara of morus, with a very fierce and awesome kind of imposing fear onto the people, with a matah, then you have to mitigate it somewhat. You have to some extent, sweeten it up. It's too harsh, it's too bitter. And therefore you introduce the yad yamin, the right hand. The right hand represents yamin ha-makareves. So we have to find that beautiful balance between these two polar extremes. And now we go back to the story of Moshe in front of Paro. And Moshe, when he appears in front of Paro, he has to do these two osos. Vayan Moshe vayomer vehein lo yaminu li velo yishmu bekoli ki yomer lo nirei lecha Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu to teach him the derech of Hanhaga, how to take the people of Israel out of Mitzrayim. They're in a Mitzrayim not just in a physical sense, but also in a spiritual sense. And how do I get the people of Israel to listen to my voice? Vayomer elav Hashem, maze biyodcha. What's in your hand? What does he mean when he says, maze biyodcha? What is the koach hanhaga in your yad? Vayomer mata. And Moshe Rabbeinu answers, it's the mata. He's going to be matil esmaruso. The frightening and imposing a very harsh approach of pua. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? This is very important. Hashlichu Arza, send down the matah to the ground, and Vayhilu Nachash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to show him that the very moment that he takes the matah and he uses it, he throws it onto the ground, he unleashes a very powerful force. The Nachash HaKadmoni, the Yetzirah, is going to be able lahapil es Yisrael chasno, to overcome the people of Israel. Vayonas Moshe mipanav. And at this point, Moshe Rabbeinu runs away because of this matah that was turned into a nachash. Vayomer Hashem, Hashem says to Moshe, don't be scared. Shlach yodcha v'achoz biznovo. Just grab on to the tippy end of this matah. Of it now, it's a nachash of this tail of the snake. And now you're going to bring back the matah into its original state. From a nachash, it goes back to becoming a matah. How are you going to do this? How are you going to accomplish this? The answer is by integrating hamtaka, a yamin makareves that's going to sweeten the bitterness here. Vayishlach yado, vayachzek bo, vayhi lemata, mata bekapa. Moshe Rabbeinu sends his arm out, and he's able to convert the nachash back into a mata. It's no longer nachash. Nachash represents the powers of evil, the Yetzirah, to limit our ability to be noeg b'kedusha and based on emuna. That's what's going on over here in this parasha. In other words, the command here is on the one hand to throw down the matah, but on the other hand to somehow be mamtik and be mevatel the nachash and the yetzer hara, and that's with yodcha, shlach yodcha vechoz biznova. We have a medrash. I'm just looking at the clock here. Let's see if we can just fast forward here because we're running out of time. I'd like you to take this home and go through it on your own. But on page 4, he goes back to the two stories of the Kriyas Yamsuf on the one hand and Melchemes Amalek on the other hand. And he wants to indicate that in both of these occasions, in both these great episodes in Jewish history, in early Jewish history, Moshe Rabbeinu is called upon to utilize both the method of Puah and the method of Shifra and integrate the two. On the one hand, he's commanded to take the matah. On the other hand, to use his yad. The matah speaks to one group of people, to one element in the population. They're able to they have thick skins. They're able to tolerate the harsh rebuke of a matah. And that's fine. They don't need the yad in order to size up. But there are others who say, no, the matah is not for us. The matah doesn't speak to us. If Moshe Rabbeinu is identifying himself as the matah, we're alienated. We're not able to take that hadracha and that limud. We need a yad. And a yad means yad yamin, the right hand. And that's what Hashem says. That im lo yaminu l'chav lo yishmu l'kol ha'os ha'rishon v'aminu l'kos ha'achron. The kol of os ha'rishon is designated for those who are able to be mechazik themselves in Torah, in Avodas Hashem, through the anhog of a matah, when the manig raises his voice, when he rebukes them with harsh words. But in lo yaminu lo, when we get to the group of people that make up Klal Yisrael, that's for them it's very difficult to tolerate, to accept the anhog of a matah. They rebel against the anhog of a matah. Then v'aminu l'kol ha'os ha'achron, then they'll believe the second os, namely the os of the yad, which represents the lashon raka, the softness, and the approach of compassion and love. So Rabosa, what we got up to here is this section called, on the right side of page 4, in the bottom, ha'koach ha'nifla b'yadov shel Moshe b'kriyas yamsuf u'b'molchemes ha'molek. That Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness lies in his integration of both the yad and the matah. He takes the matah, but he accomplishes his goal with the yad, because as we said before, yamin mekarevus always has to be greater and more intense than small docha, but Moshe Rabbeinu has to have both. He's got to use one yad, and then he's got to use another yad. One yad that represents a yamin, and the other yad that represents a small. But in all cases, Moshe Rabbeinu is called upon, whether it be Kriyas Yamsuf, or whether it be Amalek, to take the matah. And to take the matah means to make sure that he's able to implement that approach of Shifra, a hands-on but very, very harsh, tough love, and that's going to accomplish his goal. So both sides, we ran out of time, so I'm going to stop here. These pages are for my shiur now. If you can, maybe Yosef, you'll help me to staple them or give them out. And I want to take this opportunity to thank everyone for coming. We have a few people missing this week. You know, Dr. Pletsky is not here, and Jeremy is in England, and I got an email from Gershon, from Gary Katz. He's also very busy these days. He has something on his agenda. So, you know, hopefully we'll be able to share some of these ideas with him. I think this idea of the integration and leadership of both the Shifra and Pua mode, and the idea of integrating the Yad with the Mater, I mean, it's as soon as we finish the whole thing and work it all out, we'll see how it answers so many different questions in terms of the Chumash and the text itself.